Thanks, Stuart and Carter, for leading us this morning in this amazing time of worship. And thank you all for being here this morning. It's good to see so many faces out here on this, I'm not going to call it that word yet, but on this amazingly good fall day that God has given to us. Happy Thanksgiving. And I'm good. I'll say that because I actually like that. Happy Thanksgiving. Why don't you just go and why don't you say that to people around you? So just go and mingle around and just say that to some people around you. I love the noise of a church like that. That is so cool and so much fun that we get to be part of and enjoy that each other's presence that way. So let me grab my stuff here. It's all good. It's all good. Let me take a moment to pray as we start off our message. So Father, again, thank you. We've sang so much about you today already. And you are such a good God. And even in the midst of the struggles, you are a good God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that as I come and bring forth your word, may we have ears to hear from you. That two things that you want us to kind of take with us today, Father. So Father, Holy Spirit, come and descend upon this place in an amazing, amazing way. And you already have. And it's been such a cool thing. So speak to us, Father. Amen. So any of you out there are list makers? Any of you not? Kind of fly by, okay, some of you guys, I can see how you're not. Anyways, I said that a lot, right? So some of you are list makers. You know what? Maybe it's because of my age or my forgetfulness, but I'm finding that I'm becoming more and more of a list maker. And sometimes I put it in my phone. Sometimes I put it on pieces of paper or other things like that, but I tend to be like that now much more than I've ever have. I'm still not like some of you, I'm pretty sure, but it's something that I tend to do. So another question for you guys who are list makers, have you or do you write out a Thanksgiving list of things that you're thankful for? Kind of, sort of, yeah, a little bit. To be honest, I think that's a great thing to do because it's better than making out a Christmas list or this dreaded New Year's list. Anybody make out New Year's lists that you don't follow anyway? Kind of some of you, kind of some are not. So I think making out these lists over Thanksgiving about what are you thankful for, I think that's just a great thing. I found a list from a homemaker that maybe some of you guys can relate to. It says, this homemaker said that I'm thankful. I'm thankful for dishwashers because they make it possible to get out of the kitchen before everyone comes back for snacks. I'm thankful for a husband who attacks small repair jobs around the house because he usually makes it big enough to call in a professional. Don't comment, Rachel. I'm thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy, but I hate to see them when they go home to their own parents. Okay, you're laughing because you know how true that is, right? Yeah, that's... So, I'm thankful for teenagers because they've given me an opportunity to learn a second language. I'm not quite sure how you're going to take that, but yeah. And finally, I'm thankful for smoke alarms because they help me know when the turkey's done. So maybe this isn't the best list to kind of share with and out there, but it is an interesting list. And you know, the Psalms, the book of Psalms, they speak to us much, much about giving thanks. But there's only one psalm whose superscription or the title says that it is a psalm for giving thanks. And that is Psalm 100, which is probably my second or third favorite psalm. Psalm 121 is my favorite, and 100 and 139 are kind of even as far as my next favorite psalm. So this morning I thought that we would take some time to look and ponder this Psalm 100 to see the impact that it can have in our life. And today I want to read the Psalm 100, but I want to do it slightly differently. We had you earlier on today speak out loud the actual line from actually 136. But what I want us to do is kind of read this psalm all together as a body, because there's something about saying and doing things out loud, it's kind of like our worship, that really is, it thrills my heart. So we're going to read this Psalm 100, all five verses out loud together. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who make us, and we are his. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." I need my water. Thank you for being able to share that out and to share that in that way. You've noticed that I've highlighted 7 or 8 words here. And the reason why I've highlighted them is because these are the 7 imperatives or 7 commands that this psalm gives to us. And I always find it interesting when you run into these commands or these actual imperatives in the scriptures, because they're there for a reason, right? They're there because God wants us to pay attention to them. And so what I want us to do is I want us to look at, through not all, but most of these imperatives that God has given to us in this psalm, and just to see how they can make an impact. And the first one is from the first verse, which is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know what? I love this verse because this describes my singing ability. Because I'm joyful, at least most of the time, and I truly make a noise. I remember back when I was in high school, I was part of a choir, and I was asked to mouth the words and not to sing them out loud. Truly, true story. And then about 10, 12 years ago, I was part of this musical drama, and I had speaking parts, but whenever it came to the singing parts, they shut off my mic, okay? So that's why you would never see me up here with Stuart singing along that way, because you really, really do not want to hear me sing at all. So I've claimed this verse as my own, make a joyful noise, and like I said, I'm joyful and I truly make a noise. But here's the thing. When you look at that verse and you notice it, it says that the command is to make that joyful noise. And that's not something that you can do in your heart, as it were. It's something that you do loud and proud, as the saying goes. Because when we think about it, folks, are we not thankful to God for what God has done for us and who he is? Are we not incredibly blessed by him by living in this country? Think about this, folks. We've had all this snow, but we live in this amazing country where we can go into places like this out of the warmth and all that stuff. Are we not thankful for the fact that God gives us hope and peace and joy? I think so. I think that we are. Then, if we are, then we need to be loud and proud about it. One writer has said this. Said, suddenly you realize that God has been so good to you that you can't keep it inside anymore. From the depths of your being, you shout your joy unto the Lord. And really, this affirms with what the commentator Craig Broyles has said about the Israelite worship. What he says, Israelite worship was not to be characterized by civil restraint. See what it's saying? That Israelite worship is not to be, it was not characterized by civil restraint. They were loud and proud, and neither should ours. Our focus towards God needs to be loud and proud. And not just on a Sunday morning here when we gather and we worship God in this amazing ways and you sing out your voices and it's loud and it's proud and it's great. But this is to be how we are when we move outside of this building, outside into our world around us. And you know, I know that a personality plays into this sometimes, and that some people by nature are a little bit more boisterous than others. But here's the thing. If we get loud and proud at a Wheat Kings game, or for the Jets, or the Bombers, or for concerts, or for your family and friends, then why not for God? If there's anything or anyone that we should be loud and proud about, it's Him. And I don't mean that when we leave here that we go chandelier swinging or anything like that when we're out there, but we don't keep silent. But what God means to us. It's part of our being salt and light to Him. And this is partly, I believe, what this command is about, is to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to be loud and proud. This is the commandment that we have been given in Psalm 100. The second and third commands are found in verse 2, where it says, worship the Lord with gladness and come into His presence with singing. I want us to look at this word worship here, the second command. Because see, what's really interesting is this word worship in Hebrew can also be translated serve. So this past week when I was going and prepping for this message, and I went through a number of different Bible translations, about half of them use the word worship, and the other half uses the word serve. So the commentators are not quite sure exactly with what this word means, as being translated here in verse 2. But I think there's something significant when you look at that Hebrew word that can be used worship or serve, because worship is serving, and serving is worship. Think about that. Worship is serving, and serving is worship. So this morning, you've come here and you sang some amazing worship songs to Him. But in doing so, you've actually served Him with your praises. Our musicians and our singers here and the people at back have not only worshiped God, they've also served God by serving us. We have a janitor here, and this week our janitor came in and served us by cleaning this auditorium here and in the upstairs here. She has served us that way. But in doing so and serving us, she's actually worshiped God by wanting to make this place where we come to gather in the name of Jesus nice and clean. Here's the thing, folks. However you serve Jesus, and as a church, as you know, we're calling, we ask you to serve in lots and lots of different ways. And some of those ways are kind of upfront and more visible, like people who are up here. But then there's other ways that we serve, which are maybe a lot smaller or a little bit more quieter, and they're not visible in any way. You who are called to serve and you who serve Jesus, you are worshiping God by doing those exact same things. Because serving is worship, and worship is serving, and you are doing that. So, however you serve, may we serve with gladness in whatever we do. Because, folks, it is an honor to worship God. It is a privilege that He has given to us. Maybe not have ever thought it in those ways, but I firmly believe it. It is an honor to worship. And it is a privilege He's given to us by turning this stuff up, by the activities that we do, be it in the big or cleaning the toilets or whatever it looks like, back to Him. So however you're asked and called to serve, do it with gladness and worship Him. The next command that I want to look at is actually found in verse 3, and it really is the heart of the psalm, and it says this. It says, know that the Lord, He is God. When I was thinking about this, this actual imperative to us, I thought this. You know, there are many things in our world that compete to be our God. Watched some football yesterday down in the States. It seems like football is a god for lots of the people down in the States. Hockey is up here in Canada. So CFL football in the Riders, you got that. But there are other things, right? There are passions that we have that really compete for us and for our attention, that because they want to be the main thing in our life. Or maybe it's work for you. Or maybe it's something else. But we live in this world where we have many things that are competing for our primary loyalty in our life. And I use the word loyalty because it often comes down to that. Is that, yes, they want our attention, but they want us to be loyal first and foremost to those things. Be it that sports team, or sports in general, or our passions, or things like that. They want that to be our first loyalty. The problem is that if that first loyalty, if that major, the first God in your life is not God the Creator, what happens is that they will ultimately be unfulfilling. Sports is ultimately unfulfilling in people's lives. The other passions that you have is ultimately unfulfilling in your life. Your work will ultimately be unfulfilling in your life because it doesn't fulfill that spot, that thing that God has. God has created within us a stomach, as it were, that can only be filled with Him. The living God can do it. Yet we try. We often try to fill it with other things. Here's the thing, though. Knowing that God wants us to know Him isn't some mental acknowledgement, as it were. It's not something we just give some mental assent to. It's actually something deeper. The NIV application commentary says this about it. It says, it is a command that stems from complete devotion to God and worship to Him. This knowing is a command that we're to be give our complete self to Him. So in other words, in my vernacular, to me it means that we're all in. That we're all in with God. Yes, we're to enjoy our sports or our work or those other passions and the like. But we're not to be all in with them because they will ultimately take place of God in our life. And our relationship with God will be hindered just a bit or greatly because He is not that first one that we are loyal to. And here's the other thing. We're all in with God because God is all in with us. God is all in with us. We see it from verse 3 when it says, it is He who made us and we are His. And this reminds me of a verse that we have in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 13, which says, "For you, God, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." You see, folks, we're just not some random molecules that all of a sudden came together and suddenly, boom, we came into existence. That's not what happened here in any way. God himself formed us. He created us. He made you to be you. He made you to be you. That's special. That's being all in. And not only is he all in with us because he has created us, the rest of the verse 3 says this, that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. See, God has created all of this, all of the universe, all of this world. He has created it. But only us as humans, only me and you, we are his special possession. I love dogs, but they're not a special possession. I love trees. They're not his special possession. You are. I am. And it says that we are a special possession, like sheep are a special possession to a good shepherd. And when you think about a good shepherd, he's all in with his sheep because he does certain things. He loves them, he protects them, he directs them, and he guides them, amongst a whole bunch of other things. Folks, that's how deep, how intensely God loves us. Because as a special possession, he does all of those things. He's loved us, right? We sang about Jesus today. And that is God's love in action towards me and towards you. God protects us. I'm always amazed about how few accidents that happen to people. And the reason is because I believe behind the scenes in the heavenly realms and the things that we cannot see, God is physically protecting us. Over the years of somebody who's done and been part of youth groups and I've led youth groups and that, I've recognized the fact that God has protected us on the road. And I'm sure many of you can share examples in your own life of how God has protected you. But God has also directed and guided you. In a very pronounced way, God has done that with Rachel and I this week. He's given us some direction, and he's guided us in regards to something. And when you think about your life, he's done that for you as well. You are God's special possession. Like a good shepherd loves his sheep, that's how God is with you. That's how much God is all in with you. And for me at least, when I spend time thinking about that and realizing that, it is incredibly humbling. Incredibly humbling to think that God would care for me and love me that much. And that's why I think verse 4 commands us to give thanks and to praise his name. Because folks, how can we not thank him? How can we not praise him? When we take time, we think about what God has done in our life, how God has loved us and protected us and guided us and directed us. How can we not? In fact, I would dare say to you that thanking God and praising him is to be part of our DNA. It's to be part of who we are that just naturally comes out of our life and out of our world. Because God is so, so good to us. Well, let me end this morning I end wondering this. I wonder if for this Thanksgiving, if maybe today, this afternoon, or tomorrow, if we should all become list makers, as it were. I wonder if we should all become list makers to think about and then even write down the things which you can give God thanks for. Yes, some of us will say this over grace that we have when we get together with Thanksgiving for a meal and things like that. But I wonder if we should just set aside some time and just think about that. And start to write out the things that you're thankful to God for. It starts with Him being all in by creating us and by calling us His special possession. And it goes on from there. I wonder if that is something that we can do this Thanksgiving weekend. May we be all in with Him. May we be loud and proud about our God as we leave this place. And may we desire to worship and to serve God with gladness, for it is a privilege to do so. May we hear what God has said to us this morning. Shall we pray? So, Lord, You are this amazing God who's loved us since prehistory, and we are Your special possession. Father, may we truly engage with You with a thankful heart. Lord, would You bring to mind, as some of us, and as we write out these lists this week, may You just bring into our minds exactly the things that You want us to turn back to thank You with, and to praise You with. For You are a good, good Father, and we are loved by You. Amen.